Psalm 86, and we're going to tackle verses 11 through 13 this evening. Psalm 86, 11 through 13. Let's once again look to God in prayer before I read that portion and by His grace expound upon it. Father, may it be that this evening this servant indeed proclaims his master and the glories of his salvation, his gospel, the power of his word. And may it be, Lord, that the same Spirit would come and open the ears of those who hear, and the minds and the hearts of all of us, Lord, that we might all together once again, take in your word, that spiritual food, and grow in grace to hear afresh, to see yet more of the treasure house, the store of jewels of wisdom that you have for us in your word. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Once again, hear God's word. Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart. And I will glorify your name forevermore. For great is your mercy toward me. And you have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. This is one of four psalms that begin with the words, a prayer of. We have, for instance, the 90th psalm, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. And he says in that psalm, teach us to number our days. What an important precept for us. We have the 17th psalm, also a prayer of David. And he prays there, hear a just cause. How often do we come to that place where we want God to look upon our situation and render justice? We have the 102nd psalm, which begins a prayer of the afflicted. When he is overwhelmed and pours out his complaint before the Lord. How often have we felt in that situation overwhelmed and pouring out our complaint before the Lord? Well, I'm going to call this psalm, the 86th psalm, the Jonah prayer. Although it is also a prayer of David, I couldn't help but think of Jonah, and that's why we used Jonah 2 as our scripture reading this evening, because it may even be that when Jonah was in that belly of the fish, that place that he described as the bars of the earth closing him, when he felt he was at rock bottom, he was in Sheol, it may have been that he even thought of these prayers, this prayer of David in the 86th psalm. The way I want to look at these verses is this. I want to look at the petitions, the things that the psalmist David asks for. I want to look at his resolves, that is, why he determines, the things that he determines he is going to do. And I want to look then at why he makes these petitions before the Lord and why he resolves to do the things that he says he's going to do. I see two petitions in these three verses. We could be looking at the psalm as a whole, but I want to zero in on these three verses. The first petition that he makes of God is, teach me your way, O Lord. Well, what is the way of the Lord? Well, we have an answer as Christians in the Gospel of John, where the Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The Christian life is called the way because it's a life united to Jesus Christ. To ask God to teach him your way is to ask him to teach you more about Jesus, who he is, how he is the way to God. Teach me your way, asks the psalmist. Teach me, we can say, teach me, O Heavenly Father, teach me more about my Savior, the Lord Jesus. He is the way. The second petition that he makes is, unite my heart to fear your name. What does this expression mean, to unite my heart? He's asking that God give him singleness of heart, an intent purpose to fear God's name. Unite my heart. Make my heart. Bring everything that's in my heart together, Lord, to serve you, to fear you. Perhaps we can get some more insight as to what this means by considering a couple of passages where the inspired writers talk about a heart that is not united, that is not of a single purpose to fear God. In the 12th Psalm, speaking of the wicked, the psalmist says, they speak idly, everyone with his neighbor, with flattering lips and a double heart they speak. One day they're one way, another day they're another way. There's hypocrisy, there's two-facedness. Sometimes they're gung-ho for the Lord, sometimes they want to just totally forget him. James 4, verse 8, the apostle writes, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Don't be hot and cold with the Lord. Don't be like the Laodiceans, who Jesus said, because they were lukewarm, he would spew them out of their mouth. It's kind of two different figures to say the same thing. Double-mindedness. No, we don't want to be double-minded. Sometimes hot, sometimes cold. But we want to be of one heart, burning with love for God. So isn't he essentially praying that God would help him to keep the second commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Rather, the first great commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Let my heart be united, God, to fear your name. So he has these two petitions that he makes of the Lord. Teach me, unite my heart. And then he makes these resolves before the Lord. And let me talk a little bit about what I mean by that. As Christians, we are sanctified by the power of God. We are set apart because God has determined to save us. We read that passage in Romans where he says, those whom he justified, he also glorified. It's all part of the same thing. God has called us, given us the new birth, justified us, set us apart for his own purpose, and he is going to glorify us. Again, God is going to save us despite ourselves. There's that sanctification, which is the work of God. But in the midst of that, as that is working out in our lives, there's also what we call consecration. We who are sanctified by God, nevertheless, consecrate ourselves. We resolve, we determine that we are going to follow the Lord and obey Him. And I see three resolutions, three things that David resolves to do. First, he says, I will walk. Verse 11, I will walk. What will he walk in? He will walk in your truth. Well, what is the truth? I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's walking. For us, it means to walk in Christ. Colossians 2, verse 6 says, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. You received Him by faith, now walk in Him by faith. He's determined, the psalmist is determined, that he is going to walk in the truth. He will do this. He resolves that he is going to do this. The second resolution he makes, I will praise. How is he going to praise? He's going to praise with his whole heart. He's made that petition for that unity of heart, that singleness of heart. He's looking at it as, well, God has given me this. I've prayed for this for God's glory. God is going to give it to me, and now I'm resolved. I will praise Him with all my heart. It makes us think of Joshua and Caleb, the two who followed the Lord with their whole heart. So David resolves he's going to walk in God's truth. He's going to praise Him with his whole heart. And then his third resolution, I will glorify your name forevermore. He takes the look at heaven. He thinks of eternity to come. And he stirs himself up. We talked about stirring up this morning. He focuses upon that goal. Like Paul, he is thinking about that prize, the upward call of God in Christ. That's what he's looking toward. I will glorify you now and forever. This is what I'm all about. I'm going to glorify my God. No more am I looking to glorify myself and put myself first, but I will glorify you, O Lord. Why does David say he's going to do this? Why does he pray? Why does he make these petitions? Why does he make these resolutions before God? Well, reasons are not hard to remember, and I see two in the passage. Because in verse 13, for great is your mercy toward me, and you have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. He is resolving to follow the Lord, to walk, to praise, and to glorify. He finds the faith to ask God to teach him and to unite his heart because he has received of God these graces. He has received mercy and deliverance. God delivered righteous Lot, who, according to Peter, was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. There was a deliverance for Lot. God came down, and in the midst of about to destroy those cities, he brought Lot out and delivered him. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 17 and 18, we see how God delivered the Apostle Paul as he's talking about how all his human companions deserted him. They all forsook him. But he says, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. If we have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, there has been for us not only a temporal deliverance, such as Lot and the Apostle Paul experienced, as great as those deliverances were. It's not only a divine and supernatural deliverance like Jonah when he was delivered from being swallowed by a huge fish, even though it is that. It's by the power of God and it's supernatural. The deliverance, the eternal deliverance, not only from the depths of Sheol, but from the depths of hell itself. Because God has been merciful. God has done a great work of deliverance on a place called Calvary. When he sent his son, who said that he came to give his life as a ransom for many, and he laid his life down. No one took it from him, but he laid it down of his own will because he loved his people. And God poured out his just wrath upon his son. That was my deliverance. That was your deliverance. That was the deliverance of those who believe in his name. God poured out his wrath upon his only begotten son. And Jesus bore that penalty in his own body on the tree. He fully satisfied divine justice. Where the first Adam failed, the last Adam succeeded. We were all in Adam, our representative. By faith, we are united to Jesus Christ, the last Adam. And so we could even say that when he died, those who are united to him were going into that death with him. And he went into death. He went into that great fish of death, the belly of that great fish of death. And he defeated it. And he rose from the dead. And so once again, we see, even in this psalm, we see Christ pictured. Christ and his work pictured. Great is your mercy toward me. You have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol because Jesus didn't stay dead. He rose from the dead because the work was accomplished. He rose bodily from the dead, proving not only being a miracle that occurred in space and time, but proving that his work, his paying of the penalty for sin, was acceptable to God. Death couldn't hold him anymore because he had paid, fully paid the price. And he rose from the dead. And so now, by the Holy Spirit, this gospel message goes forth to whosoever will, to call upon the name of the Lord, to pray with the psalmist, "Teach me your way, O Lord. Jesus Christ is the way." To ask God to turn away from the things that haven't been of profit, to no longer be double-minded in all my ways, but now, God, unite my heart to fear your name. I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify your name forevermore. That's the voice of someone who has experienced this great deliverance. Greater than anything Jonah knew. A greater deliverance than Lot's, a greater deliverance than Paul's, a greater deliverance than anything that only foreshadows it in Scripture. Deliverance. Great is His mercy. Great is His mercy, and that mercy is given to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I implore you this night, if you've never known this salvation, if you've never called as from the depths of Sheol, from an awareness of your need and your lost condition, to call upon the name of Jesus, to call upon the name of this wonderful Savior who gave Himself in love that we might know His deliverance and His mercy. Let us pray together. Father, we thank You for how throughout Your Word, wherever we look, we see the gospel. Lord, Your whole book, the Holy Bible, is about Jesus and His salvation. Father, may we, by Your grace, be of the mind and heart of David, as we see expressed even in these few verses, ever asking that You teach us and make our hearts united, ever resolving as Christians to walk, to praise, to glorify. If we are not yet knowing this salvation, to recognize that apart from Him, we are indeed in the depths of Sheol, and to cry out from that dark, deep place for deliverance. Oh, Father, have mercy and deliver according to the needs of everyone hearing this message tonight. Let Your deliverance be mighty and great in our lives. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.